Welcome to the Birth Warrior Podcast. In each episode, we feature the stories of birth warriors, women who have persevered to find their own truth in pregnancy and birth. As you hear these women share their stories of love, autonomy, connection, and power, it is our deepest wish that you will be inspired, empowered, and supported to find your own truth. We are honored these women have stepped forward to share their personal stories and to help us remember that we all have the power to choose what is right for us. The Birth Warrior Podcast is a presentation of the Indie Birth Association and is not intended to be medical advice.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Birth Warrior Podcast. I am your host, Jaden Graham. Today we have Christina on our show. When standard care turned its back on her, Christina found support from intuitive women who lived the example of normal, undisturbed birth. This taught her the power that surrounding yourself with a supportive community has on expanding your beliefs about what is attainable. And after 4 cesareans, Christina finally had her first vaginal free birth.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, Christina. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Yeah. Wherever you would like to begin.
Okay. Well, I think maybe to understand this birth story, this is my 5th baby. It might help to know a little bit about how I got here. Mm-hmm. So I had 4 cesareans, and you know, none of them were medically necessary. It just started with the very first one, my first baby. I was just so eager to see him and hold him. And you know, I knew I wanted this natural birth, but I didn't really spend much time thinking about what that meant. Mm-hmm. I had the idea of unmedicated, but I also didn't really spend a lot of time reflecting on why any of that was even important to me. So I just went into birth very blind. Mm-hmm. And very quickly, you know, things were happening, decisions were being made, and I wasn't a part of it really at all. I mean, I was there, but, you know, people were telling me what was going to happen. So, you know, it ultimately led to failure to progress. They induced me, and, you know, one intervention after another just sort of happened to me. But you know, I got my son out of it, and he just came out like a little fighter, you know, his arms swinging. He was just yelling and mad and red. And, you know, I fell in love with him, you know? So that sort of dictated what happened, you know, each birth thereafter. I was marked as a cesarean mom. Mm-hmm. So even though I had told my doctor with my second, oh, I definitely want a VBAC. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I still didn't learn that much more about what that meant. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I signed my little waivers. I was a good patient. And, you know, I hit 39 weeks. And the doctor at that point just said, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and do a cesarean. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not in labor. And why, you know? And he's just like, well, you know, with VBACs, it just doesn't always go as planned. And that
wow.
was that.
Wow. I am so sorry that's wow. F him. Sorry. But wow. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my goodness. But yeah, it's, you know, that was interesting. Just what you just said there, it kind of reminded me of this part in your written submission that I read, where you said, while there was some helpful information, I didn't realize at the time I was being taught how to be a good patient and what procedures would be done to me. And, you know, I feel like this is, it's something that's still so hard to like fathom, but it shouldn't be shocking at this point because this is kind of, this is just kind of the mindset, you know, of the institution in some ways. And that's not to say that there aren't, that's not to say that there aren't amazing nurses that are just angels. And I'm sure that they do exist. And, you know, but this is definitely more of a critique of the technocratic model in a sense of like, yeah, like we are taught what's best for them as opposed to what's best for us. And there's such a huge, like, it's doing so many women, birthing people, such a huge disservice. And it's really,
Exactly. I mean, you know, we had the words thrown around, comfort measures and that sort of thing. But there just was never a connection. I was never even asked to consider why I might want certain things, you know, why I might not want certain things. It was just very procedural, step by step. This is how it's going to go. So, you know, and at that point in my life, I didn't know that it was okay to question or to say no, you know? So I went ahead and again, that was a cesarean. And at this point I'm just like, okay, I think maybe I just need to be done because I can't continue to do this. You know, I knew that there was supposed to be more to birth. And honestly, I grieved really hard because I didn't feel like I had even given birth. It was just like there was a baby inside and then a baby outside. Mm-hmm. So I did start learning on my own after the birth of my second. And I was determined to prepare as much as I could understand how labor actually worked. So that it was less, I was less fearful of it. And at that time, I still didn't have a whole lot of support because, you know, a lot of family and friends that just don't really understand. There's that stigma that you get when you're a VBAC mom and they're just like, well, I don't know, you know, you should trust your doctor. And, but I was determined that another cesarean.
Yeah.
So I learn about birth. I'm reading a lot. But still at this point, my hands are only getting mainstream information. So there was a lot of fear, even in, you know, books that would advocate VBACs, it was still very, fear-based. There was all these parameters that everything had to fall in just perfectly or was too risky. And I just decided that I was going to go in pushing, which is never a great plan. But that's all I knew at the time. I did not have any kind of support outside of that. I thought I was alone at least. So I went in, I signed, you know, all my waivers in labor. And, you know, of course my contractions are on top of each other and the hospital staff is just, they're just like frightened, terrified of me because, you know, I'm like, I want to be up. I want to be moving. I want to vocalize. And they're just like, who are you? Like, why are you here and doing this? And, you know, two cesareans, you know, but, you know, I signed my waivers and they're like, okay, we're going to just move you to labor and delivery and get you all set up in the room. And then the shifts changed and a new doctor on call comes on and he's just like, Absolutely not. And I guess to spare all the details, he was very verbally abusive.
Wow.
Yeah, commenting on everything he possibly could. My weight, everything. My husband was not allowed in the room because he had left to go move the car. And, you know, until I had consented again for another cesarean. And at this point, I was a little bit wiser. And I'm just like, wait a second, don't I have to give you my consent? And he tells me, yes, but I also can choose not to help you if something goes wrong. You know, and
what?
Being in such a state, you know, I'm like, tears are pouring down my face. And I'm like, okay, you know, at this point, I'm thinking like, how can I take full responsibility? I just was not, you know, prepared for that because I still felt like it was somebody else's responsibility to keep me safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So this was on Mother's Day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this was on Mother's Day. But, you know, each baby is just, they have just such a spirit about them. They each are just so strong. And from each baby, I've learned more about myself, actually. So, you know, it's a part of my story, but mm-hmm. especially at birth, I think there was a lot of healing that I had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
With my fourth, I had just lost my grandma to cancer. So, I mean, I didn't even attempt anything at this point. I thought it was going to be my last baby. And so, you know, I just did the whole thing all the way through. Good patient. I went to all my appointments and I was there on my scheduled cesarean and, you know, it was pretty smooth, but I was disappointed still. You know, there was always that thought that, again, I thought that then that would be my last baby because the recovery was really hard. I mean, 4 major surgeries. So,
yeah.
You know, I was sad about that, but I thought, okay, well, that's behind me. But, you know, as life would have it, I wasn't done. When I got pregnant with my fifth, I was like, okay, none of this anymore. I did a lot of research, and a lot of what I saw was that having a fifth cesarean was a much huger risk to my health and to my baby's health than having a normal birth. And when I saw that, I was just, you know, I had this internal struggle for a while because I'm like, you know, I don't want to put us in danger. And everything inside of me was telling me that just opting for another cesarean would be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the more I'm reading and the more I'm reading, I'm finding all these studies that are talking about how having a VBAC after multiple cesareans is not, it's really not very different than having a VBAC after 1 or 2 cesareans. So mm-hmm. that gave me a lot of confidence, but something was still, I just needed to do some internal work because I knew that this was going to be a big move for me if mm-hmm. I was really going to commit. So I did a lot of inner work. I needed my motivation. I needed to know why this was so important. And I needed to know that I could trust myself, which was something very new to me. And One of the first things that really helped was reaching out to some online support groups. And these moms, especially the VBAC moms, several of them after multiple cesareans, you know, they're sharing every day how they're giving birth. Mm-hmm. And it was normal and it was healthy.
Mm-hmm. I was curious, because this just made me think for any other, mothers that are listening to this, that are kind of going and navigating the same situation. I was hoping, you could tell us the names of the group so then I can then link them in the show notes after I'm done editing all of this.
Okay. Yeah. So one was, I'll have to look up the names for you.
Okay.
Because it's been a while since I've actually been active in there, but it was a group specific to, VBAC after multiple cesareans. I think it was VBAC after 4+ cesareans. Mm-hmm. But these women, like I said, they are giving birth, you know, each day there's another report and another report, and, you know, they had different outcomes, but for the most part, birth was just really normalized.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, very healthy. And that was like the first step in me really not just seeing the logical information, but really like internalizing that this is possible. And it's not just an odd once in a while, this is possible for a lot of people. So they also pointed me to a free birthing group. And those ladies also were just so amazing. That is the example of women like truly being accountable for their pregnancies and their births. And that actually is how I heard of Indie Birth. And I was able to just devour and just the podcasts and articles. And I'm just like, okay, there's something here. You know, this is different than anything I've ever heard. So, you know, I'm learning and I'm asking these women questions. And like I said, every day, more stories of just birth, how it's just so a natural part of life. You know, it's just an extension of the living that we're doing. And I'm like, okay, I've got this. Mm-hmm. And I remember listening to this motivational speech just as I'm, you know, searching YouTube for different birth videos. And this wasn't about birth, but it was this man talking about doing something that's like your impossible thing. Mm. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be it for me, because everybody that I had met before this had said, you know, a healthy physiological birth is just not going to happen for you. And I'm like, this is my impossible thing. This is the thing that I just knew it inside of me. And this was the first waking up of like knowing that I can trust what my instincts are telling me. And it was so different because it wasn't like this fear-based. I wasn't trying to run away from a cesarean, because it did start like that, you know, but it really became about knowing that my body was telling me that everything was okay, that my baby was healthy, I was healthy, and that although I have had these cesareans, my body, my uterus was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting as prepared as I can, and things are just moving along so smooth with the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. But I, as I'm getting closer, there's just this like resistance that I'm feeling in myself. mostly about stepping out on my own and really going for what I believe is the right move for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was pretty new to me. You know, I've always just been good and did what I was expected to do. So mm-hmm. this was all new. So I decided that I wanted a little bit more like one-on-one support. And I scheduled, it was called a maternity. And so it was like a little counseling session, and I scheduled that with Margo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I remember that, you know, I was a little nervous, and I told her what I wanted to do. And she's just like, okay, you know, and just her laid back response was like, oh, so what I want is valid, you know? You know, she didn't just like hang up on me or, you know, mm-hmm. she's just like, okay, so tell me more about that, you know? And I'm sharing my story with her and, you know, she's asking me some really good questions. And, you know, it gets to the point where we sort of uncover that I've kind of developed this me against them attitude. And I just sort of felt like, you know, I'm on my own and I'm the only mm-hmm. one that can support me in this. And she's like, you know, she points out that all of the resources that are out there are still available to me. So it wasn't, you know, me against the healthcare system or, mm-hmm. you know, but that those things are all there to serve me.
Yeah.
And I get to choose, you know, what parts I want to take from whatever is available.
Mm-hmm.
And that just really was, it was amazing. And, you know, it changed my life. It really did. So from there, after our call, I was able to dig in even deeper and figure out like, okay, what are my boundaries? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like if I want to have this baby vaginally, that I have to be completely isolated. And, you know, so I really figured out what my boundaries were, mm-hmm. what type of help would I get if I needed it? What would I feel was normal for me? What were the signs of what, you know, might not be normal for me? And I felt really solid after that. And all along, I was still getting some help prenatally from a new doctor. Obviously, I didn't want to go back to the one that...
That was very abusive to you.
Yes.
Absolutely not. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I'm getting help prenatally, but I never really had a care provider that I felt was truly backing me up as far as my choice to not repeat a cesarean. So mm-hmm. I knew that that I didn't want to birth in the hospital, and where I was living at the time, there was very little midwifery care. So I felt strongly about having a free birth.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt good about that. You know, I practiced, you know, just different, coping skills. My husband and I, we prepared as much as we could. We got the supplies that we felt were needed and, just really nesting in the reality of getting ready for birth. You know, every birth you prepare. So the rest of my pregnancy went really quickly. And you know, I had four little ones. So, you know, it was, as restful as it could be with four little ones. And finally, the day comes and I remember waking up at, I think, like 4 a.m. and, you know, I'm feeling all this tightening and I'm just like, oh, these Braxton Hicks are kind of strong. And, but I'm just, you know, I'm just going to go back to bed. Mm-hmm. So finally I'm, you know, up and getting ready for the day. And, I'm like, okay, this is still happening, but it's not really intense. So, you know, maybe it's labor. I'm kind of feeling like I think, but I didn't want to get too excited. So we just go about our day and I'm like, you know, I think we'll just pick up some last minute things from the store, you know, just in case. And we go shopping and, you know, I'm walking in the store and I just, you know, pause and take some deep breaths every time I feel that tightening again. And I'm like, okay, we get home and my husband takes the kids out to play for a while. And I'm chatting on the phone with family and just kind of keeping my mind busy. And I begin to feel like with the tightening, just sort of this pulling on my cervix. And I'm like, wow, okay. So this is what it feels like, you know, and I'm thinking like, yes, this is happening, mm-hmm. you know, but the contractions aren't coming super fast. It's just very gentle. You know, I'd say like every 20 minutes, you know, and just a nice, good, strong one, and then just restful. And so, you know, I didn't really, I guess I just thought I was going to probably be doing this for a really long time because nothing was really intensifying. But as I'm talking on the phone, I hear what sounds like a rubber band snap. And I jump up and I realize my water broke. And so I'm like, okay, this is it. So, you happening. Know, I tell my husband and the first thing he tells me is, all right, I'll order pizza. You know, so he's it's about dinner time and he's ordering a pizza and the kids are coming inside from playing, and, you know, I'm giving them all hugs and kisses and I'm like, you guys, this is happening. And very quickly it did build in intensity. And mm-hmm. then I just retreated to my room because I just wanted to be alone. And, you know, as intense as it felt just really great to be with all those sensations going on in my body. And just, I felt like my mind was really focused and I was just enjoying everything that was happening. Mm-hmm. And I mean, time just seemed to go by really fast. So when my water broke, it was probably around 5 o'clock in the evening. Mm-hmm. And by 8, I'm, it's feeling really, really intense. And then I'm starting to have this sort of doubt, like, oh, wow, I don't know how much longer I can do this. And mm-hmm. at this point, my husband had put the kids to sleep and I'm in the shower just trying to refocus, but I could feel myself, my mind sort of wandering and questioning. And I had given him a list of affirmations to tell me, you know, because I knew that that's what I would need to hear. And so, you know, he's really dutifully telling me all these affirmations and I just look at him and I'm like, I know what you're trying to do. I'm like, but it's not working. I'm like, this is hard. And he's just like, okay. And at this point I'm begging, like, okay, you know what? I think I made a mistake. I think I shouldn't be doing this. I'm like, just take me to the hospital and give me an epidural right now. And, you know, he's just kind of smiling and he's like, you know, same thing. You're doing this. Every contraction is bringing you closer to your baby. And, and I'm like, what, you know? But then he tells me, look, you can go to the hospital if you think that's what you want, but they're not going to offer you an epidural. They're going to give you a C-section. And that was all I needed to sort of come back to reality a little bit, and I'm just like, you're right. And it's not at that point, you know, like I'm basically just trying to run away from this experience because it's so intense. And I just need to sort of get my mind back focused. So I get out of the shower and I lay down, and I'm trying to rest, but it's really intense. And I'm like, no, I need to get up. I need to move. So I get up, and then I sort of, I guess it's like pressure is how I would describe it. I feel pressure. And so I get on my hands and knees, and then I'm leaning on the bed, and I'm just like, I'm just going to go with it. And so I relax into it, and I just feel my baby starting to slide down. And honestly, it was not painful at all, but it was just, I could feel every bit, and I could, you know, breathe with the contractions and just sort of feel him stretching me slowly. And then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna push. And so I give a little push, and his head comes out just really easily. And, you know, my husband had expressed how he really wanted to be a part of it. So at that point, I'm just like, hey, are you going to catch him or not? You know, because I just felt so full of power. I'm like, I could do this. And, you know, but I wanted to try to include him, since he's like, yeah, I want to be part of this. So he's like thinking, no, you know, it's not time. And I'm like, look, and there's our baby's head, and he's just like, oh, you know. And then I just sort of give a deep breath, and you know, just the rest of him slides out, and both of us were just looking at our baby and looking at each other, and you know, it was just amazing. And I think I even remember saying, like, I did it, you know, I did the impossible. And you know, he pinked up right
thing.
Away.
Yes. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I remember still there was just this little bit of uncomfortable feeling. And then I just gave another little push. I'd say only about 5 minutes later. And then the placenta came out, and that was just a huge relief. I just felt, you know, back to myself. Until then, yeah, there was just that little weird like heaviness. And I just wanted to share that because I feel like that's not always talked about a lot. The placenta, you know, and it was really cool to see and you know, to catch it. And you know, when I've had hospital births before, like I never had seen one.
So, oh really? Wow. Did you end up doing anything special with your placenta? Did you have it encapsulated? Did you you know, bury it with herbs? Did you do lotus birth?
We did lotus birth, not for a huge amount of time, but we did do it for a couple hours. And I buried it, and it was all really, I don't know how, there isn't a word for it, but amazing is the most thing, the closest I could think of. I just, the birth high too was, you know, you always obviously have that rush of feelings when you have a baby, but it was so different. Just letting the hormones do their whole thing. I mean, I felt like the birth high lasted weeks, you know, and it wasn't just surrounding the baby or my husband, but just, I just felt gentler and peaceful with the other kids too. It was just, it was so different, amazingly different than anything I had experienced before.
And how old is your fifth child now?
He is 4.
Cool.
He'll be 5 this year.
Nice. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing your story, Christina. Is there any final thoughts or words of wisdom you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yes. I think it was really important for me to find people that, well, first of all, that believed in themselves. Mm-hmm. And through their example, they taught me how to believe in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And just having that support, people to just be open and honest with and ask questions, and, you know, and they even ask me questions back, and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of help reveal maybe inconsistencies in my thinking. And it just made a world of difference, because I think I didn't truly believe in myself. So it was easy for me to hand off responsibility to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but no one really has your best interest at heart like you could,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the importance of surrounding yourself with people who believe in you.
Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Mm-hmm.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening. Storytelling is a profound agent of change, one that has the ability to plant seeds of inspiration, introspection, and beyond. If you have an empowering birth story that you would like to share on our podcast, please head over to indiebirth.org/birthwarrior to send your submissions. That's indiebirth.org/birthwarrior. Hope you have a beautiful week wherever you are in the world. Until next time, friends.